I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
Welcome to Rich Text, a podcast about our cultural obsessions, like age gap couples who, thank God, have zero relation to anyone else on their reality show cast.
Thank goodness for small favors. If you're listening today, you're already a subscriber to our audio and written newsletter, Rich Text, on Patreon. Thank you, as always, for being here. You quite literally make our work possible.
Today, we're here because despite the psychological damage inflicted by MILF Manor in years past, we willingly watched all of Age of Attraction on Netflix. And honestly, the courage to go on an age gap dating show knowing that they could just be like, by the way, your mom is here, your son is here. Like, they knew that show existed.
Well, I'm unclear if these people even knew they were going on an age gap relationship show, because Libby has since posted that she thought she was going on like a fake dating show that was actually too hot to handle.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows how they framed the casting call?
Yeah, they must have found out at some point to get all those talking heads of them explaining why they are so desperate to date people who aren't in their age range. So let's dive in to the concept, first of all. If you somehow aren't familiar, Age of Attraction is a Netflix reality dating show about age-blind dating. It's hosted by Nick Viall and Natalie Joy, who are famously in an age gap relationship themselves. And in classic host fashion, they are rarely in it. You know, they pop in here and there to like yuck it up with the singles and the couples about like how huge their age gap is. But then it's so hard to be like an older hot man and a younger hot woman, but it's also beautiful and they have a baby, which they do, who's very cute. And so that's been a big part of the discourse, I think, because Nick and Natalie are very divisive figures.
Yes. I think given that we know the two of them personally and have known Nick for over a decade, that's not going to be a huge part of our coverage of this show. But I also want to say that don't worry, guys. It doesn't mean we're holding back on our thoughts about the show.
Yeah.
Also, as Claire said, these two are barely in it. They also didn't produce the show or create the show. So I think we can just leave their involvement out in our personal commentary.
Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff going on that I'm personally more interested in talking about. So the basic format is that the singles all gather at some sort of mid-range spa resort to date each other. It's described as a retreat. And you might think, given the age-blind concept, that the couples would date without seeing each other. That was certainly my assumption, because how else are you going to do this? Because when you see someone, you can pretty much immediately tell how old they are.
Not when your delusion is very strong, Claire. When you're deeply, deeply motivated to look at a beautiful woman in her 40s and think to yourself, this woman, she's 30.
She's probably 30. I think if a woman has, you know, some wrinkles, that's what starts happening to women the minute that they breach 25, you know, if she's got some wrinkles, if her, you know, hands are starting to look a little older, that's just a mature, elderly 27-year-old, I think. But this is not the case. The singles can see each other from the very first meeting. It's a speed dating mixer. And they all like, they're what, like 30 singles or something. They're all just like going on these brief little sit downs with each other to see who they connect with. They then hang out at the retreat and sort of casually date each other and hang out for a while. There are like group dates where you can all go together, like whitewater rafting or something, or to a spa. Some of them get like one-on-one dates. There's not a lot of rhyme or reason to how any of this happens.
Yeah, I'd say that this is the part of the show that works the least well for me. And when I first started watching the screeners, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this because I am so bored. This just feels kind of aimless. Who am I supposed to be paying attention to? Why should I care about any of these people? It does get more compelling as the show goes on.
Yeah, I was maddened by this. I think I actually, after watching the first five episodes, when I went on Ryan Bailey's podcast to talk about it, I was like, this is boring. I can't imagine people are going to want to watch this. Like, the concept is spicy, but then nothing happens and it's bland. It's definitely a problem with the structure. Like, there's no challenges. There's no eliminations. There's no clear system for how those individual and group dates are put together or the like.
Right.
It's just like random. It's like some of us are going whitewater rafting. You want to come? Oh, good. The guy I like is there. Like, it's just not compelling TV. It's, it doesn't make the stakes clear.
And there's so many ancillary characters.
Yeah. And so they zero in on certain couples, but the conversations they show never get that deep or interesting. A lot of what we see is pretty boilerplate. It's like, I have two dogs. Like, oh, me, I have a cat.
I like Taylor Swift.
I'm looking forward to meeting someone. Like, fascinating. And so they get to this thing called the promise room. It's kind of the first sort of structural element that's like, if you really connect with someone, you want to move on to the next phase, you go to this promise room and exchange promise rings. I was like, why are we introducing promise rings into this?
We gotta do a little purity culture for fun.
It's just so, like, that's already a thing, you guys. Means something. And after they exchange their promise rings to commit to the next step, they reveal their ages. The next step involves living together as a couple in some sort of, like, suite or hotel or something for a while. And the next step is meeting each other's friends and family. And the finale is a ceremony where they each decide whether to stay together. It's very dramatic, very high stakes. So I think a lot of the structure could be tweaked if they ever wanted to do this again.
And I will say that people have been pretty into this show.
Yeah.
It's been charting pretty high on Netflix. I've had a lot of people in my life want to talk to me about it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is actually hitting something in the culture that when I saw the first handful of screeners way before the show came out, I honestly didn't anticipate.
Same. Yeah, I was thrown. And I was like, maybe it's because I watch so much reality TV that watching
we're like
a poorly structured, boringly formatted one really put me off. But then, like, my sister-in-law's texting me, like, avid thoughts about it. So it's definitely broken through a little bit. I would maybe tweak the format a little next time.
I think the beginning needs to be changed. I think it needs to be streamlined. It also means that you end up with all of these couples who are around the same age, but that's not what they want the show to be about.
We'll get to that. I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay, so let's talk about the show's big unavoidable problem, except when you add delusion. Age is not blind. People have eyes, and age is something that shows. Like, our faces change, our voices change.
Yeah.
Our necks change. It's just, it happens.
My neck is already changing.
And that's fine.
It's fine. It's part of life. It's a gift to have your neck change. You know, it's a gift to be on this earth, continuing to go through life as your neck changes.
I mean, what is the alternative?
Exactly. And so I love that for me, and I love that for all these people. But the whole concept rests on the idea that they won't be able to tell each other's ages. And they clearly tried to cast sort of youthful-looking older singles and some more maybe mature-seeming younger singles to facilitate this. And then Libby, for some reason. I don't know what was going on there.
12.
I will say that some of the older contestants, to me, look a little bit frozen, maybe a little bit like they've had some work done. They look great, but, like, being an older person who has had work done and is hot, like, that's not the same as looking 27.
Well, that's the thing. And it would be creepy if you as a 49-year-old looked 25. Like, you look really hot and you're 49. Like, sick.
I want to look like a really hot 49-year-old. I don't want to be 49 and be like, for some reason, I look exactly like a 25-year-old. Like, what deal with
right,
Satan
then we
did
start
I
to
make?
Get into, like, the uncanny valley.
Yeah. So you can tell. And I think my experience watching was like, oh, it's weird that none of them can tell how old they are, because I've been within 0 to 3 years on every single reveal. You know, I'm like nailing these. And then the show was released to, you know, the general public. We had some screeners and everyone watching was saying the same thing. And I was like, okay, I'm not just gifted. It's obvious.
You're like, do I have a magical power?
I should work at a carnival. Like, I'm going to go guess people's. It actually makes me think of that carnival trick differently. I'm like, wow, it actually is so easy to guess someone's ages if you're really focusing on it.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. You might be 5 years off, but for most of these people, the couples that they actually hone in on, they all have like a minimum of a 15-year age gap.
Yeah, I mean, 5 years is pretty negligible of an age difference once you get out of like the teen years, you know? Yeah,
that's the thing.
And you're gonna be able to get within that 5-year range if you're paying attention. I was the most off maybe with Pfeiffer, who gave a little more late 20s to me just from her demeanor.
She's actually more 23. Self-possessed than most 23-year-olds. She also doesn't have a super teeny bopper voice.
Yeah, exactly. Like Libby. But like a hot 60-year-old is still 60. And like Jorge's voice to me was such a dead giveaway. Like when he's leaning over to talk to Vanel and he's got that gravelly voice and the salt and pepper and the neck, I was just like, this man is in his 60s, I think.
Yeah, I was like maybe 55. Like,
yeah, it's giving a little bit of grandpa. Like this is one sexy grandpa, but grandpa.
I tried to test this because I was again like, am I like overcomplicating this? So I was rewatching. My mom was just in town and we were very casually rewatching episodes from the beginning while like reorganizing my apartment. So my mom was like barely paying attention and I just kept being like, Mom, how old do you think that person is? She was correct within a few years of every single one. She was like, wait, are you going to tell me that man is like secretly very young? I was like, no, he's 60. She's like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
In a way, I think a lot of this is a commentary inadvertently in the end, an inadvertent commentary on the obsession that we have with looking young and like, oh, millennials, we all look so young for our age. You know, like it's so important to like do these procedures and do these treatments so that we'll keep looking young. This show calls the bluff on that so hard. You can still tell. Like you can obsess over age-defying treatments all you want, but I think that the average person can still tell that you're a millennial and not Gen Z.
That's the thing. Within the decade, right? They're going to be able to guess you are in your 30s. Maybe someone might be like, oh, I thought you were 33, not 38.
Maybe. I'm just saying,
like,
exactly.
It's not going to really make that big of a difference. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm free now.
Yeah, I found it quite liberating, actually. I don't think that it's liberating in the way that it intended. I also think that the fact that they don't date blind also reveals what this show is actually about in terms of age gap dating, which is not like, what's compatibility beyond considerations of age, right? It's like, what if you look really young? Like, then is it okay to date a 20-something?
when you're 60.
Like, if you're 60, but you look really young, like maybe then you can date people who are 30 years younger than you. Like, it's not actually about compatibility beyond age. It's like, can you fool people with your amazing Botox work and your highlights?
And that is also especially clear when you get further into some of these relationships and you realize that the age gap is some of the least of the incompatibilities of a lot of these people.